This is the SF Signal Podcast, the Hugo Award-winning SF Signal Podcast. John, I want my cookie. My name is Patrick Hester, and I am your host. And tonight, I am doing a favor for Mile High Con. Rose over at Mile High Con contacted me and was hoping that we could do a little promotion for the con and maybe drum up a little extra business. I said, sure, I'd love to get more people to come to Mile High Con. It's a great con, and I'm willing to do some extra stuff for you. So this is one of those podcasts. And tonight what I've done is I've found four people who enjoy going to Mile High Con and are all authors, and they want to tell you about their Mile High Con experiences, things that they love to do there, and why you should come and see them and check out what they're doing. I am going to start by introducing everybody. First off, we have an irregular, an SF Signal irregular on the podcast. That would be Josh. Josh has been on many times. He's been on SF Signal. He's a contributor there. And he has his debut novel coming out not too far, yeah, from Pathfinder, from Paizo. So Josh, why don't you tell people who you are and what you do?
Hey, good to be here. My name is Josh Vogt, and I am I'm a full-time freelance writer and editor and author. I write within a wide variety of genres, fantasy, science fiction, horror, dabbling with some of the pulps lately even. My latest work is out. It's called the Door-to-Door Sales Thing from Planet X. It's out in the Unidentified Funny Objects Anthology 3. By day, I write copy for lots of different businesses, sales, marketing, and advertising. And by night, I write novels, short stories, and also role-playing game fiction tie-ins and that sort of thing. So kind of all over the board, but this will be my fifth year going to Mile High Con.
Awesome. And if you don't know Josh, Josh is probably the most physically fit of all the people you'll see at a convention.
Of any writer ever?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I have a vivid memory of sitting there with JT Evans from the Pikes Peak Writers, and we're like enjoying this plate of greasy wings from the bar or something, and Josh pulls out a power bar from his backpack.
They're just efficient for cons, honestly.
Next up, I want to say hello to Betsy.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
No problem.
I am Betsy Dornbush, and I write science fiction and fantasy. I'm working on a epic fantasy series right now. Exile came back and out in paperback last summer, and Emissary is coming out in February. And they're pretty much available everywhere. What else have I done lately? Oh, I also edit the magazine Electric Spec. We've been doing that for 9 years now.
Very cool.
Had a couple short stories out this year. Anthologies, that kind of thing.
And how many years have you been attending Mile High Con?
I think this is my eighth. Wow. I meant to look and double check.
So is that, have you seen multiple hotels for the con?
No.
It's always been the tech center for you. Okay.
It's always been the tech center.
Okay.
Yeah, but they changed the hotel and it's like gorgeous now. It's really fancy.
They did remodel it, yes. And I actually saw that part because the bar used to be a dinky little bar.
Uh-huh.
And now it's this big, huge...
It's like sophisticated.
Yeah. The only thing that bugs me is it's like a sports bar now. And when you're in there, they've got all the TVs going and they've got music going and it's really, really loud.
Yeah.
And yeah. I would love for them to turn all that crap off when we're there.
Right. Is that different from last year?
Huh?
Well, they do have the sort of external part of the bar that kind of enters into the lobby, which helps a little bit.
It does.
That's not quite as loud.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's actually where we were hanging out last year.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Travis Hearman.
Hello, everyone. My name is Travis Hearman.
Well, hold on. I got to say, Robes of the Black Fury.
That was very good. I should hire you for some voice work.
You should.
Rogues of the Black Fury is one of my books. I also have two books so far in a historical fantasy trilogy, a YA novel. Most recently, I also do a lot of freelance writing, you know, much like Josh. And my most recent sort of project in that regard is working on a new supplement for the Firefly role-playing game.
Ooh.
Which has been a lot of fun.
Shiny.
Yeah, shiny indeed. I aim to misbehave. and let's see. I sold a short story last week to an anthology coming out next year from World Weaver Press, so I was excited about that. I've got an alternate history neo-pulp steampunk novella that is really close, I hope, fingers crossed, to being picked up by a publication to come out next year. And I've got a couple of novels out there. I'm shopping. I'm working on the last in the Ronin trilogy right now.
Well, I have to say, the Sword of the Ronin book two probably has the best book blurb I've ever read on a book blurb cover thing.
Yeah, it's by Patrick Hester.
I know.
So yeah, that's me.
It's funny because the first time I ever went to a con with John DiNardo, he did make a point of taking me through the dealer's room and showing me all the SF Signal blurbs on the backs of books. So I thought that was amusing. And then last but never, ever, ever, ever least is Carol Berg. And Carol, I learn something new about her every single time we chat, so I'm always excited when we chat.
Okay. I got to watch my words then, because I don't know what you might not know. But okay, I'm Carol Berg. I write epic fantasy. And until this year, it's only been novels. I have 14 epic fantasy novels published. The most recent one came out in August. It's called Dust and Light. It's the first of a two-book series. And the second one of that duology will come out next year in December. And a sort of a big deal for me right now is I've only written two short stories in my entire life. That's not counting, you know, one I wrote in high school. That doesn't count. But, you know, two so in my professional life, let me say that. Well, in my writing professional life, because I used to be a professional software engineer and I wrote a lot of fiction then too. But I won't talk about that. But I've only written these two short stories in my professional life. One of which is going to come out in an anthology called Blackguards from Ragnarok Press. And it was a monumentally successful Kickstarter. And it will be come out in December, and then it will be available. So I have a short story in that. And I was really excited about that. And then it turns out the other short story that I wrote that I sort of gave away to a regional anthology a couple of years ago is going to appear in the World Fantasy Convention 40th Anniversary Compendium.
Oh, awesome. Which is going to... I got one in there, too. I forgot to mention that.
I do, too.
Yeah, doojobber that they're going to hand out at the World Fantasy Convention in November. And so I thought, you know, two short stories, two sort of pro publications, you know. I should awesome. Quit right now and never write another.
Are you qualified for SIFWA?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm already a SIFWA member. Yeah, I know. 14 novels, you know, you can get there.
That's awesome,
but,
Carol.
I can be found on the internet at carolberg.com, just all one word and no E after the Carol, even though I knew I would always be a cooler person if I had an E after the Carol in my name. But it's just CARLBERG, and so at, you know, .com. And I can be found on Facebook at Facebook/Carol Berg. Is that boring or
no,
what?
No, it's not. What's the...
There it is.
What's the short story that's in the World Fantasy piece?
It's called At Fenwick Fair, and I gave it away because I didn't think anybody would ever want to read a short story from me. And I am not a judge of short stories, unlike these other people on here. The only thing I edit is my own stuff, and that's a full-time job. But I gave it away to the Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers Anthology a couple of years ago, and they said for this World Fantasy Compendium that they wanted something that had been published elsewhere, so they didn't have to copy edit it, which I thought was kind of pretty funny for the, you know, a worldwide writers organization. But okay,
that's
so
cool.
I said, So I'm very proud of that little story, which I wrote many, many years ago, long before I was published, and so that's sort of a cool development. But the other one I actually get paid for, and
which is always good. Yeah, it's always
great
good.
Anthology coming out in December, so that's kind of a cool thing.
Travis, what's your story in that? You said you had one too?
Yeah, it's called Daubs of Color, and that one was actually written... There was if anybody who went to the San Diego World Fantasy Convention 3 years ago,
I know what you're gonna say.
there were a number of people talking about this creepy painting that they had in their room. It was of a little yes. blonde girl in a blue dress. Well, somebody had the idea to do an anthology with that as the theme. So I wrote a story, and the editor loved it, but but the anthology never went forward for whatever reason. So I'm like, well, there's no more appropriate story for me to submit to a World Fantasy Compendium than this story. So there we go.
Very cool. Betsy, you have one too?
I do. It's called Kenna's Song. I think it was first published like 5 years ago in a magazine called Big Pulp. And it's a vampire mystery.
All right. Very cool. Well, congratulations. Yeah. And it just dawned on me that 3 out of the 4 panelists on this podcast have critiqued my writing.
That's true.
That is true, yes.
And all three of them told me not to quit my day job.
Oh, come on now. I know we said other things than that.
So everybody is going to Mile High Con. Is everybody on a panel? Josh, are you on panels?
Yeah, I believe I have 4 panels this year. This will be my first time as a panelist at Mile High.
Don't tell me what they are yet. Carol?
Okay.
Yes?
Are you on panels?
Yes.
Okay, Betsy?
Yep.
You're on panels too?
Yeah, I think I've got 3 or 4. Okay. I guess.
Trap?
Yeah, same here. I think of 3 or 4 and I believe a YA reading block.
Oh, okay.
At some point, I'm trying to pull up my schedule right now.
Betsy, are you doing a reading?
I am. Actually, I'm going to do it with Carol.
Oh, very cool. Yes. So, Carol, you're doing a reading too. Okay.
We did that last year. We tried it, but I had lost my voice and I couldn't do my reading. So we just listened to Carol, which was fun.
Josh, are you doing a reading?
No, not yet. I'll probably do one next year.
Okay. So Travis is a con junkie. There's not a moment of free time in his life where he is not going, hey, maybe I should go to that con.
Largely true.
I think like every weekend you're at a con, it seems like.
This year has been pretty crazy, I got to say, especially August when I did 2 major cons and a small local con in August, which of course was insane.
Now, you haven't been in Colorado very long.
A little over 2 years.
A little over 2 years. How many Mile High Cons have you been to?
I think this will be my 5th one.
Your 5th one, okay.
Yeah, because I came out a couple of times before I moved out here.
And Carol, how many have you been to?
I think I've been to between 13 and 15.
Oh, wow. And in that time, have they ever changed location?
Yes.
So where were they previously? Because right now they're, what is it in the tech center? What's the name of the hotel?
It's the Hyatt.
It's the Hyatt.
The Hyatt.
Yeah.
The Hyatt.
Yeah.
So where did it used to be?
For a long time it was at the, what was it? The Four Corners. I don't think it was a Marriott, but it's at Hamden and I-25.
Used to be one there. It's gone now.
Oh, well, that could be because it was kind of dingy.
Yes, and they turned it into a hospice. I know this because I used to actually rent that place for events. And they turned it into a hospice for like a year, and then I think they bulldozed it down. So I think it's gone now.
Oh, well, and it may have been somewhere before that, but I don't remember.
Interesting. So, Travis, you would come in from out of state to go to Mile High Con.
Yeah, I drove from Omaha. I was living
in Omaha. hurry. And now you're here. And do you feel like, is this like your home con now? Do you feel very at home there?
Yeah, pretty much.
What is it about Mile High Con that you love, that you like to go there for?
Writers are so thick on the ground at Mile High Con.
And it didn't start out that way. If I'm not mistaken, it started out as a gaming con.
Yeah, there's still some remnants of gaming there that go on. And I have participated in that in years past a little bit. But primarily, what I enjoy about it is that it's a very literary con. It's about books and geekery. And it's a little more low-key than something like Denver Comic Con, which is just, you know, many, many shades of insanity.
I would say that it's incredibly more low-key than Denver Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's a lot going on, it's not that crazy Comic Con atmosphere.
Right. It's small and it's intimate and it's easy to meet people. In fact, I met everybody on this panel, I think, at Denver Comic Con. Well, yeah, I believe at Denver Comic Con.
I've never been to Comic Con.
At Mile High Con.
Yes,
I believe I met Betsy at a World Fantasy first.
Yeah, I think I did.
the one with the creepy painting.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting that you mentioned that, because last year, Betsy, didn't you co-host the bar thing in the first?
I did. Actually, I've done that a few years. I think somebody else has taken it over this year.
And that's what I was going to mention. But
I'm one of them.
And Travis is one of them.
Oh, I did good. Last year as well.
And so why don't you explain, Betsy, what am I talking about when I say the bar thing?
Well, it's sort of an after hours, I guess maybe like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, sort of after programming, sort of winding down, or at least the literary programming is winding down. We sort of have a meet and greet in the bar. And so you can just, you know, anybody can come, and there are sort of hosts there to make sure that everyone feels welcome and introduces you around. And I mean, the writing group there is super tight, and we all know each other pretty well. So it's nice because I think it's just a great way to meet other writers, and just for fans to step in and just come in and have a drink and have very casual conversations with all of us.
And yeah. and it is difficult to get authors to come into a bar. I understand that.
Yeah, you have to have a special arrangement like that. Yeah,
it's horribly difficult. But last year you did a great job, and this year Travis is on the hook.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got a lot to live up to.
Yeah. Well, I did it last year too.
Yeah, I know.
So.
But Betsy totally carried you.
He was like in training. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, do you have anything special planned for this year, Travis?
It will involve alcohol.
Okay.
That's all I can divulge at this point.
Really hard to get writers to show up for that. Really, really hard. It's like an uphill battle for you at this point. So, Betsy, what is your favorite thing about Mile High Guy? I mean, what brings you in and makes you want to go there every year?
Well, you know, primarily it's my friends, because it's most of my local writer friends that are there. And it is a home con for me. It was my first sci-fi con. So it's definitely home for me. And now I've gotten to a point where a lot of times I bring my family, I bring my kids. They have a great time. Actually, I'm not this year. I get to be on my own this year. But most years, at least my son comes and plays games and hangs out and watches movies and goes to a little programming. And it's a great family environment. Some of the other bigger cons are, like you said, just sort of a little crazy. And you sort of don't know necessarily what you're going to come across all the time, but Mile High Con's very family oriented. They have a wonderful kids track, which my kids have done a little bit of, and I know other kids that have had just a great time with it. And Travis is right, the literary track is really on a par with a lot of the big cons that I go to, so it's pretty impressive. And I like the size of it, because people feel a lot freer to just, you know, if you're on a panel or whatever, to just walk right up to you at the end, because it's not so crowded, and have a conversation, you know. And a lot of times you do say, hey, let's take this over, you know, into the bar and talk more, which is just, it's a fun environment that way.
Awesome. Carol, same question to you.
Well, pretty much the same as what everybody said. When I went to my first one, which was the year my first book came out, which was in 2000. And I didn't know anybody. I had my agent told me that I needed going to science fiction conventions, and I had no idea what they were, much less that Mile High Con here was, you know, 60 miles from where I live, and that it had been going on for, you know, 40 years or whatever. And so, but that year, the first convention I went to was WorldCon, the World Science Fiction Convention. It was in Chicago. It was spread over three hotels and had 6,000 people there. And it was like, whoa, I had no idea. And then I went to World Fantasy, and it's smaller. It's like 1,000 people.
Yes, and much more
intimate. And it's very, very professional. It's really loaded with professionals, you know, every writer that you had ever heard. And the next convention I went to was Mile High Con. So I guess that was actually 2001 that I went to my first Mile High Con. And it was such a pleasant change from the overwhelming population of WorldCon. And then I didn't really know anybody, though, right. But coming back so many years, every year I accrete people, you know, not secrete, but accrete people. And to where, you know, I know another, you know, I meet another couple of people. And, you know, now I go in and it's like I know so many people around. For a shy person, I can't say what a change that is and what a welcoming feeling that is to walk through the dealer's room and know the people at the, you know, who are selling jewelry or selling paintings or artwork. Or to be on panels with people you've been on before, been on them with before, and you know people like Travis and Josh and Betsy, and that some of whom I know from other organizations, but some of whom I've only met right there, and so it's really and it's wonderful that you can not only you know meet a lot of people, but you can one of the best things I think is Friday night dinner. You meet people and you end up in pickup groups that might end up with people like Connie Willis or Kevin Anderson or, you know, just people that it's so much fun to go and listen to and get advice from. you know, it's just a very warm and welcoming atmosphere. I wish I'd known about it when I had kids at home. Oh, my God, they would have enjoyed that so much. I didn't have time to write while I had three boys at home, you know.
My advice when I do talk to people about conventions and going to cons, I actually, at this point, I don't advise people to go to WorldCon first. Because WorldCon is so big and it can be so overwhelming. You know,
what, you recommend Dragon Con then?
No, San Diego Comic Con actually. So it goes San Diego Comic Con, Dragon Con, BlizzCon. And then WorldCon. No, I'm kidding. No, it's so overwhelming. It really is. One of the first experiences I had, you talk about the dealer's room. I like that the dealers usually have, they try to get books from the guest of honor. So whatever authors are going to be there, they try to have those books in the dealer room. And it was interesting for me. I've never been a guest of honor there. But a couple years ago, I had a short story out in an anthology, and it was like volume 6 of this on-running anthology series. And I went into the dealer's room, and I saw that they had the series, and I was so excited, and I would start looking. And they had 1 through 5, and then they had 7.
Somebody bought yours.
And I was like, great. Joy. Josh, same question to you. Favorite thing about Mile High Con?
Oh, geez. Mile High Con is really what let me get connected with the entire writing community of Colorado.
So now I'm going to interrupt Josh, because here's the thing about Josh. Do you guys, you know the term photobombing? So there is, you'll see like these random people in photos that are taken. So example, at WorldCon, there's a photobomb of Matthew Sanborn Smith photobombing me in an image. Josh is a little bit like that. It's every time you turn around, Josh is there behind you talking to an author or an editor. He is so focused. And that's why I honestly believe this, Josh, and I'm going to make you blush now. I think Josh is just going to explode as an author, because he's spent so much time paying so much attention to people, talking to them, getting advice. You know, it's like he has to study the entire thing before he moves forward.
Thanks, Josh.
Are you blushing now, Josh?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Okay. Yeah. So go ahead.
Well, the funny thing is, Mile High Con, it was my first. I had gone to a couple like writing conferences beforehand, but this was my first actual geek convention, sci-fi, fantasy convention. The funny thing is that back in college, I actually worked at a gaming retail store, and my manager was David Boop, and everybody here, I think, knows him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I went away to New York for a couple of years, came back, and a year or so later decided I was going to start going to some Denver conventions. I go to Mile High Con, and behold, I see David sitting at a table selling some of his anthologies, and we reconnect after several random years, and he ends up introducing me to pretty much everybody that I know today. The writers networking at the bar was kind of how I think I met Travis there, I met Betsy there, I met Carol there, and all these kind of things. And so it's just been it does feel kind of like the hometown convention. Even with Denver Comic Con gaining so much traction these days, I still love coming back to Mile High Con. It feels a little bit like home. And I love it just because there's so much to do and so much to see. There's something for everyone. It does have a bit more of a literary bent these days, but even then, you can go as an aspiring author or you can go as just a raving fan and still have fun at the same time. You know, there's great panels for everybody. And if you're going there and you're trying to get connected and you're trying to meet people, it's such a non-threatening atmosphere to do so. Everybody is so friendly and so willing to sit down and talk for an hour, or, you know, go in, like Betsy said, go in and grab a drink and just sit and chat. And there's that casual edge to it that you don't necessarily get at the huge industry conventions that are going on now as well.
And just so you guys all understand, you have all answered the question incorrectly. The correct answer to the question of what do you enjoy most about Mile High Con is the live SF Signal podcast recording.
Well, I thought that was assumed.
All failed.
Huh. So, most of the Mile High Cons that I've gone to didn't have that. It's still new. I'm concerned, it's still in testing mode.
You've even been on it. Come on.
Well, I haven't, so I don't. That's why I didn't remember.
So let's talk about what you guys are actually doing. What panels are you going to be on, Carol? What panels are you going to be on?
Well, I'm going to find out why I didn't end up on more panels, hearing how many these others are going to be on. But one of the ones I'm going to be on sounds like a great deal of fun. It's called Unca Mike's Bad Advice.
Yes.
And on that one, a panel of writers and editors are going to mete out advice to new writers, guaranteed to keep them unpublished. And I think that should be a terrifically fun thing. Yes. I will have to, you know, oftentimes I don't prepare a lot. I always prepare a little bit for a panel, but that one I'm going to do some deep thought, because I'm going to have, you know, we're going to have a bad advice competition, I think.
Hold on, just so everybody understands, Uncle Mike is Mike Swanwick.
Yes, he is the moderator of that panel, and Jim Van Pelt and Connie Willis are both on there. So, you know, I've got to do some deep thinking to make sure I have some really excellent advice.
So, a good question to go to that panel and ask Connie Willis would be something about Primeval.
Yes, well, that's true. Another panel I'm going to be on is one called The Better Second Banana in Science Fiction and Fantasy. So we're going to be talking about the second bananas, you know, who gets, you know, who has interesting ones and how we make them interesting, quirky, how you can have some fun with second bananas that maybe your, you know, hero doesn't get to have, though I never believe in your second bananas outshining your heroes or heroines, but we'll talk about that. So those are probably the two I'm looking forward to the most. And then there's, of course, the reading with Betsy, which is, you know, I'll read all day, all night, any day, anytime. Aww. That's one of his favorite things to do.
That's very cool.
Aww.
Betsy, what about you?
There's always autographing, which I consider the best way to get to know a fellow author in depth, especially those who are close to you in the alphabet.
Yes, very good. Good point.
You know, I do. I feel bad. A friend of mine had a book out and was at Worldcon and had an autograph session and was seated next to George R.R. Martin.
Oh, yes.
And so there was a line out the door for George.
That's a way to feel very small.
Yes, exactly. So I felt horrible for that friend. Betsy, what about you? What panels are you going to be on?
Well, I'm going to do the reading, of course. Sure. I'm hoping to do a cover reveal of for Emissary. I just got it, but they sent me this immense file that I'm not really sure what to do with. It's a very high resolution file, so I have to figure out how to fix it to show it off. I'm going to be on one. I'm excited about this one probably the most. I'm going to be on one about the TV show Supernatural. I've never gotten to be on a fan, you know, on a fan panel before. And so I have the best job in the world, because I had to like watch last season and catch up with this season and kind of, you know, try and school myself on it. I've been watching it all along, of course, but I'm super excited about that.
I can't believe those idiots didn't put me on that panel.
Well, maybe you'll have to crash or something, except I don't think Rose really approves of that.
Oh, no.
And then I'm going to talk about combat and science fiction and fantasy, which is near and dear to my heart. I really like writing fight scenes and dog fights in space and stuff like that. It's kind of fun. And then I'm going to talk about another thing, which I found interesting, which is obligation versus opportunity when you tackle issues in science fiction and fantasy. I'm super excited not to be on what I've been calling the sexism panels. We had one last year that was really interesting and exhausting. And I don't think there's really one like that. Now we're kind of moving on from the discussion of what's wrong and how do we make things right. So that'll be a fun topic.
That will be. Yes. And yeah. And Carol, no one has asked me to moderate a diversity panel with this one. So
We did that in depth. Yes, we did.
Josh, what about you? What are the panels? So you're so excited because this is the first time you've been on paneling. Is that because you've never asked before?
Honestly, this is the first year I've been on a panel at any convention ever. And honestly, it's just I feel like it's the point where I feel in my career where it's actually going to be good for me, or I feel like I have a legitimacy being on that side of the table, just where I'm at with getting a book published and everything.
So I have the final schedule in my email. I just got it today. Mm-hmm. So if I pull that up, find your first panel, and then make a point of being there to heckle you, will that bother you?
No. Bring it on. I need that to thicken my skin, you know?
You haven't had enough rejection yet?
Oh, gosh. I have my rejection spreadsheet prepared.
So what are the panels? Come on.
I've got four panels. One is basically don't be a dick. It's just about like how to be professional and how to have good manners and basically be a human being at conventions. And when you're either meeting an author or an artist that you really love, how to approach them in a way that's not going to like leave you frothing at the mouth and them scared off, and probably touch on topics like, you know, cosplay is not consent and harassment and that sort of thing.
That's almost like typecasting for you. That's like the perfect panel.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's just something that I've kind of picked up along the years as I have, you know, gotten around a bit and learned that there are ways that you can meet someone new and act, you know, sane, and meet someone new and they never want to talk to you again. So it's that'll be fun. Another one is scams aimed at writers.
Yeah.
Something that I've done a lot of research on over the years. And if you're ever, you know, and research like CIFWA and Writer Beware and all that kind of stuff, just the amount of absolutely horrid scams that are out there targeting aspiring authors, trying to make you pay thousands of dollars for vanity presses. And nowadays they're like, it's often found in marketing or PR agencies who guarantee you like a bestseller spot on the, you know, New York Times or that kind of stuff. And just the, it galls me how much people try and take advantage of writers. So I feel the more that we can inform them, the better. The third one is worst tropes that we want banned from films and books. Yeah, so that'll be I think we did that last year, and that was a fun discussion. Weren't you on that, Betsy?
I think I was. Yeah.
That was a fun one.
It was fun.
And then the last one, Patrick, is one you and I will be on. It'll be podcasts that people should know about.
Yes. So how did you come to be on that one?
I don't know.
I was thinking about that. I was like, is Josh on other podcasts? Is he cheating on me?
I've been on a couple other podcasts, but I mean SF Signal, Skiffy and Fanty, those kind of things. So I'll be able to at least give out a few suggestions folks might not know about.
Cool. Awesome. And then Travis.
Yes.
What are you going to be on?
I am on, let's see, I've got three or four things here. I'm actually looking at the schedule as we speak. The first is a young adult young adult fiction discussion paired with a series of short readings. And so that's the first one. And then I'll be, as we were talking before, hosting, along with several other authors, the Writers Networking in the Bar event.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What time does that start this year?
That starts at 9.
On Friday?
9 o'clock on Friday night.
Okay.
And runs until we run out of money and booze.
Or they close the bar.
Right. And the next one is Kickstarter and Beyond, Successful Crowdsourcing. And I've run a couple of Kickstarters, and so I'm looking forward to that one. And then the last one is The Scary History of the Wish. This is, and it's stories about you know, the Three Wish stories. And I'm on that panel with Connie Willis, and she's always fun.
She is.
So
yes.
she's just such an awesome lady to you know, talk with. Mm-hmm. So that I'm really looking forward to that one.
Very cool. And as Josh mentioned, I'm on the podcast one. I'm also on a Doctor Who one, which I think is similar to what Betsy's doing on Supernatural. It's talking about Doctor Who fandom and being on Doctor Who. And I forget what the other one is on. I'll probably put it up on my website here shortly. So that's cool. You guys are all doing really neat stuff. Travis, have you talked or have you ever thought about like talking to the bar and asking them to keep the kitchen open a little bit later or something? Because I've noticed that the bar, the waitresses tend to disappear, the food disappears. And
well, let's not get into the quality of service that the bar provides. But you know, we'll
order your drinks two at a time.
Yeah, or three, you know.
can we turn the music down? No.
That's actually a good idea, Patrick. I will try and take that up with them and see. The worst they can do is say no.
We did talk last year. Actually, I think a couple years about it, and there was one time when they did keep it open a little longer.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's yeah.
Well, my idea is to have all the Denver food trucks show up, and then see how willing they are to keep the bar open later. What? All that money's going out to the food trucks? No, I'm kidding. So, very cool. Now, I am curious about what you're looking forward to, other than your panels. Like, what's the thing that you're most looking forward to at Mile High Con, Betsy?
Really, for me, it's about seeing all my friends. And mm-hmm. I always say you can find me in the bar, because you usually can if I'm not at a panel, if I'm not on a panel or at a panel. But I was looking over the scheduling, and there's actually, I don't always go to a lot of panels, but there's actually some kind of cool stuff I thought looked pretty interesting.
Like what?
I say that though, and then you know what happens is I get in a conversation and I never make it.
But what are some of the things that you think look interesting?
I knew you were going to ask that, and yeah. See, it's been like a couple days.
Well, I know obviously the podcasting one looks pretty good. The SF
that looks, robot, yeah.
Yeah, that looks pretty good. The Doctor Who one looks pretty good. But I mean,
that looks fascinating.
Yeah, Supernatural, you know.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Mile High Con memory?
You know, probably the one of the most fun things I think we ever did, and I don't think it was last year, I think it was 2 years ago, Mario Acevedo put together a beatnik reading, and he brought in someone with bongos. and there were like four of us or something, and we did these readings, and it was really fun. It was cool. It was in the big auditorium, though, so it kind of wasn't in the very best place. Like, it needed to be in a sort of dark, creepy area, you know, where it's everybody's kind of, you know, in the shadows or whatever. But it was really fun. That was a fun thing. And then, is Carrie Vaughn going to be there? Because her midnight hour with Kitty is always really fun too.
Yes, she is going to be there. I don't know if she's doing Kitty and, or Carrie in the midnight hour this year.
Okay. Yeah.
Last I talked to her, she was considering putting that on hiatus. But
yeah,
I
can't say for sure. We kind of had to talk about that last year. It gets a little hard on her to do that every year. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be on hiatus or not. I don't even remember if I saw it on the schedule.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't see it on the schedule, actually.
Okay.
That's always been kind of a fun thing. So yes. Maybe she'll bring it back eventually.
Sure. Josh, what about you as far as what are you looking forward to that you're not a part of? Like, is there a specific panel that you're really interested in?
Well, I've been doing a lot of freelancing for gaming companies, and so RPG panels, there's at least, I think, two to four of them, like realm creation, storytelling within an RPG, and I've been doing that, and so I always enjoy getting other people's perspective on it. So that'll be interesting to go to, and maybe some of the gaming that goes on during it. I always try to get to a couple readings throughout it, because it's always fun to hear other folks and see how they do during readings. And I just like general geekery, so a lot of the writing tracks and literary panels will be what I end up going to. Actually, the one, Travis, that you're on, the Kickstarter one, I'll probably try and make it to, because, oh, never mind, that has a problem with my schedule, so.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
All right.
But that's something I'm fascinated by, just the whole hybrid self-publishing and all that sort of stuff. Sure. So.
And Josh, do you have a standout favorite memory of Mile High Con?
Oh, geez.
Like you turned around and there was your favorite author or something like that?
Man, I might have to come back to that one.
Okay, well, I'll move on.
Yeah, let me come back to that one.
So, Carol, is there something that you are super excited to see that you're really looking forward to, other than, you know, the stuff that you're doing?
Well, there's the omelet guy at the restaurant on Sunday morning.
He's really good.
He is awesome.
Can you make a Denver omelet?
Just like you want it.
Can you do a Denver omelet?
He can do any kind of omelet. He's got all the ingredients spread out in front of him. You can tell him you like it soft and not leathery, and he will do it to perfection. So I always look forward to the omelet guy. I also always look – another thing I'm signed up for, so I will be a participant, is playing with participants.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the authors and other guests of the convention will – there's a huge board game area. And so I always sign up to play Scrabble because being a wordy word person, I love doing Scrabble. But, it, you know, there's like infinite board games, and that's always really fun because you never know who's going to show up to play a game with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one time I actually had, you know, somebody who had gone to school with one of my sons who showed up, and he thought it was weird playing with his friend's mom, and I thought it was weird playing with a kid I used to carpool, you know, to junior high. So you just never know. But that's a really fun thing. But
and how does that work? If someone wants to play Scrabble with you, do they have to sign up ahead of time? Can they just come and sit down?
They can just come and sit down. You're on the schedule for an hour, and you say, you know, Carol Berg is playing Scrabble in the participants area at 1 p.m. on Sunday. And you can go and you can play.
So could I come by, throw down a Klingon gauntlet and challenge you to Klingon Scrabble?
Oh, I don't know. I played Scrabble with a Dutch set. Now, that's a challenge. You know, you end up with lots of K's and J's and things like that. But I have never played Klingon Scrabble.
My brother's been staying at my house for the last couple months helping with my mom's recovery. And we have a Scrabble game. And he found it. And he was going to suggest that we play a game of Scrabble. But after 2 months of me answering questions on Jeopardy, he's decided he doesn't want to play Scrabble with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite memory of Mile High Con? Is there like a standout moment that made you just go, aw?
Well, I do. It sounds a little sad, but every year from the earliest years I went, one of the first people I met at Mile High Con was Glenn Gillette, who was a science fiction writer and short story writer and he was just a really fun person. And it happened that every year I would see him in the registration line. It turned out after, probably around 2006, something like that, I joined a critique group, a writer's group in Denver, and it turned out he was a member of it. I didn't even know when I joined up that he was a member of it, but we got in this mode of every year at Mile High Con, we would sit down right after we got there on Friday and registered, that we'd sit down and just have this long conversation about family, about everything in the world. And that's probably one of my fondest memories. He's not with our community anymore. He passed away a few years ago, but that is one of the best, because it was part of the best of the best of a science fiction convention, that you share this part of your life with people who are fun and different from you, but they're the same as you in so many ways. So I would say, you know, when I think of my fondest moments, it always comes back to that one.
Aw, that's amazing. Good for you. Travis?
The moment that's coming to my mind is it happened last year. I was doing a reading with Paolo Bacigalupi, and we had a room full of people And of course, you know, they had to have been there to see me and not Paolo Bacigalupi, right? But I read a story that I had just written for an anthology, and it's a story. It's a Lovecraft story, but it's kind of at its heart. It's about domestic abuse, and I noticed a woman in the audience had a very powerful emotional reaction to that story, and I didn't think, you know. She came up afterward and told me that she loved my story, that it really spoke to her. And then, you know, she came up to me at another convention a month or two later and told me that my story had been one of the things that got her thinking about her abusive relationship. And that, so it was sort of the first kick out of the rut that got her away from an abusive spouse. So I'm like, well, and nowadays, you know, I still see her at conventions, and you know, she's doing wonderfully, and good. And good on her. So I'm like, that's one of those writer moments that is like where you really have an effect on someone's life.
Wow. So you and Carol are just blowing me away.
Patrick, I did have one memory that I did come up with.
Did you? Well, I was just gonna say. Last year, my Mile High Con fell on my birthday.
Yeah.
And when I showed up, the folks running the con had party hats and a little sign and cupcakes for me.
Aww.
And I thought that was kind of cool. What's your memory, Josh?
It's actually from last year. It's just one of those things of like how tight-knit and casual the community can be. It was one of those late night at the bar discussions, and it ended up being, I think it was like 2 hours with myself, author Jacqueline Koyanagi, if any of you know her, and then Aaron Michael Ritchie.
Oh, and I was actually there, and I saw you guys talking. I saw you guys talking. It was super intense.
Yeah, you were there. And we had like this multiple, at least 2 hours talk. And it was about all these like topics that you don't talk about around the dinner table, like deep religious and theological discussions and social, you know, stuff about just all the different lifestyles and that people go through and all this kind of stuff. And each of us were coming at it from such a different angle and from such different backgrounds, but we were having a great discussion. It wasn't like this ram it down each other's throats or, you know, screaming at each other because we don't agree with each other. It was like three civil people having a great discussion and learning different perspectives from each other. And it was just very indicative of the kind of conversation and experience you can expect there.
And that was when Aaron still had all his hair.
Yes, that was right before he cut it.
He had to cut it all, and that's a different story for a different time. So I want to know, what do you think our listeners need to know about Mile High Con? Why do you think that they should come? What's the draw for them, Josh?
Oh, it's some of what we've been talking about. It's the community. It's very welcoming.
But the listeners sitting at home right now and they're listening and they're saying, "Oh, that's really great." But what's like the final? What's the straw that breaks the camel's back?
It's amazingly fun. Every aspect of it is just fun, and you come away from it exhausted and energized every time. You come away really inspired in whatever you're working on, but also just, okay, I'm going to go take a nap for a few days because this is just, yeah, it's just that high energy while being casual. And every corner you turn, there's a different spectacle, different costumes and performances, and there's just no end to the fun you can have there.
And if you do come to Mile High Con, you can approach an author and you can ask him questions. For example, if you wanted to approach Josh, I would suggest you ask him, how do you break up with your gym? Betsy, same question to you.
You know, I think it's the friendliness of, I mean, I know it sounds a little bit like Josh, but I do have a little story. I have a friend that comes with me all the time. She's been coming with me for years to Mile High Con, and sometimes we have kids, sometimes we don't. And the first year she came, you know, we were sitting in the bar and people came in after panels and gathered this table up, you know, and pulled tables over. And pretty soon we have this giant table of people. And, you know, we all talk and have fun. I think we ate dinner and stuff like that. And then as people wandered off to their own things or divided into smaller groups, she turned to me and she said,
oh my gosh, you know some really famous writers. I read all these people and they're so nice. And I said, well, of course they are. But, you know, from her perspective, she thought, gosh, I'm nobody and I'm not even like a writer. I don't have any reason to talk to any of these people. But we were like, no, you are a reader. You're our favorite kind of person. Mm-hmm. So I always like to encourage people, even if you see a group, a big group of writers sitting around a big table, please come over and I'll throw my hat in the ring. Please come over and approach me, approach one of us, and we will totally move our chairs and welcome you in, because we like, it's sort of the more the merrier kind of environment.
And not only that, Betsy will help you completely redesign your bathroom.
The whole house, actually, if you let me.
Carol, same question to you.
Well, I think because there's something for everybody. I mean, there's Critter Crunch. None of us have mentioned the Critter Crunch, mm-hmm. which is like battle bots on Sunday morning, all morning. There's all these weight classes and so forth. And you could go and watch battle bot kind of things live.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's Junkyard Wars. There's costuming. You don't have to be an aspiring writer or a writer. You just have to enjoy the genre, you know, everything, science fiction, fantasy, horror. There's something there for you. If you want to watch anime 24 hours a day and you don't have to go and change the discs or anything, you can 24-hour films. You know, you can watch The Creature from the Black Lagoon, you know, at 3 a.m. It's just there's something there that's fun for everyone.
And you have not been to a science fiction convention and had the full science fiction convention experience until you come to Mile High Con. You go to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, yeah. and you see Carol
Patrick,
Berg.
You stole mine.
You see Carol Berg up there singing. Come on.
Well, yeah. I mean, you just never know what kind of fascinating experience you're going to have.
Sorry, Travis. I didn't mean to steal yours. We'll talk about it in a second. You mentioned the masquerade and the costuming. So this isn't like Comic-Con. There's not people dressed up all the time. There are a few. And that's Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, there's no obligation to wear costumes.
Correct.
It's just those who want to do.
Yes. And it was actually quite amusing. Last year, Shauna McGuire and I were chatting, and there was a gentleman walking by, and she looked at him, and she looked at me, and she said, okay, that one even stumps me. Who is that guy supposed to be? And I had no clue. No clue at all. And then he was in one of the panels that I was sitting on the panel, and he was there. And afterwards, I had a chance, an opportunity to ask him. I said, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know who you're dressed up as. And it's kind of tripping me out. I'm curious who you're dressed up. And it was My Little Pony. And he was a brony, which I didn't even know existed until then. But anyway, the costuming. So I accidentally agreed to co-MC the masquerade with Gene Stein.
All right.
Excellent.
So apparently I will be up on stage with her trying to tell her who the superheroes are.
You're just going famous, Patrick.
It's a trip. Travis, so I apologize if I stole your Rocky Horror picture show thing. It's astounding. But time is fleeting.
Yeah.
Madness takes its toll.
Yeah. And let's not forget the anticipation.
Have you seen the tweet?
Yes.
Someone created an account years ago and they only put one tweet on it, and it was Antis, and then 14 years or something later they did Patient. It was the only two tweets on that entire account. Anyway, go ahead.
if you like movies, the lineup that they've got is really good. I'm like wishing that I could go and see more of these, but most of the ones that I really want to see fall on stuff that I'm scheduled to do, which is one of the downsides of participating, you know, in a convention like this. Is there's always two or three things that overlap and you can't do everything you want to.
Sure.
But I'll throw this out there. If you have kids and your kids are Harry Potter fans, my girlfriend's daughter is a huge Harry Potter fan, and Denver has a troop of sort of – it's basically a Harry Potter LARP that goes on at Mile High. It's called Avestrum, and it goes on at Mile High Con and Starfest. And so she just goes berserk.
Last year she was Hermione. This.
Yes, yes. She was totally dressed up as Hermione last year. This year she's going as her own character. But if you have kids who love Harry Potter, it is an amazing experience for them. Where they have this whole weekend long story that sort of goes on behind the scenes while the kids are going to potions class or something like that, right? And they've got years and years of backstory built up, and so that is a really amazing experience, I think, for people if that's your kind of thing. And
doesn't Connie Willis's husband do something for the kids, science-y?
That I don't know. I'm usually doing something else.
He does a Dr. Science presentation.
Yes.
Yeah, he does that. He also MCs the Critter Crunch,
okay,
which the program calls sumo wrestling with robots or something like that.
And for people who are interested, basically you just need to go to milehighcon.org, and that's where you should be able to download the schedule now and see all the stuff that we're talking about, and you know, figure out where Travis is going to be, where Carol's going to be, where Bessie's going to be, where Josh is going to be, and go up and say hello to them, because they're all awesome people. I want to thank you guys for all coming on, and I'm going to give you an opportunity now to give any final thoughts you want on Mile High Con, and again, if you want to tell people, you know, your own websites, that's perfectly fine as well. Josh.
Yeah, I hope I see plenty of people there. I don't think I mentioned my website before. It's just jrvote.com.
Spell vote, yes.
V-O-G-T. And I'm on Twitter at the same, jrvote. Hopefully we'll connect with some people online and at the con.
Travis?
My website is Travis Heerman, and my last name is spelled HEERMANN.com. That's my main website. I also have a blog attached to it. And you can find me on Facebook under my real name, and also Twitter.
And if you go into the archives of I Should Be Writing, you will hear tons of Travis's old promos that I used to put on those episodes all the time. Rogues of the Black Fury, Sword of the Ronin.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Podcasting is something I haven't done in a couple of years, but I always loved it. And those episodes are all still out there.
Yes,
so.
They are. Betsy?
I can usually be found in the bar, I think I said before, if I'm not on a panel. It doesn't mean I'm necessarily drinking, but that's just sort of where everyone gathers. So please come up and find me. I'm friendly, actually. I know sometimes people think I'm not, but I am, actually. And online, you can find me at BetsyDornbush.com. It's BetsyDornbush, like the beer, ironically. And and I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Elo now. Everything's under my name, so I'm pretty easy to find. If you can't find me or you forget how to spell my name, if you Google sex scenes at Starbucks, you'll find me pretty quickly.
Very cool. And Carol?
I'm at carolberg.com, and that's just plain carolberg.com, and I'm at the same place on Facebook. I've managed to avoid Twitter so far, though, you know, I get bombarded with requests from my agent to do it, but I have no more time for internet things. But anyway, but I do love being at the con. I love meeting new people, and you know, catch me after a panel, catch me at the deserted autographing table. And you don't have to have anything to autograph. If you just want to talk writing or talk fantasy or talk life or whatever, I love meeting new people.
Very cool. And in addition to everything that we've talked about, there's also the dealer's room, which is awesome. There's tons of people who are in there every year selling books, costumes, jewelry, clothing, geeky items, you name it, it's in there. There's an art show. So there's the art room with tons of art, and there's fan art and professional art and all kinds of stuff in there. The games, as we talked about, there's a whole gaming area that's set up, and there's tons of games going on there all the time. Last year they had, what was it? They had people actually like battling with swords in this one little area, and they had belly dancers doing something, and there's always tons of stuff going on at Mile High Con. So I encourage everyone to come out and take a look and check it out for themselves. Thanks to everybody for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
And we'll see you in just a little while at Mile High Con.
All right.
Great. See ya. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Hugo Award-winning SF Signal podcast. Your host is Patrick Hester, an author, a blogger, and a functional nerd. His website is www.atfmb.com, which stands for All Things From My Brain. ATFMB is also his Twitter handle and where you can find him on Facebook. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the links to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com or search SF Signal in iTunes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell your friends and have them tell their friends, and so on, and so on. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all of your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal regulars offer up new content every day, from weekly mind melds featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SF&F field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, fiction deals, movie reviews, videos, links and roundup posts, and more. Click the RSS button in the sidebar of your browser to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Angry robot.
Magic Wooey.
Wah, wah.
Thinking and crap.
And scene.